slip. Introduced by Roy Plumley.
The teams. On my right, the ladies Eleanor Summerfield and Gillian Reynolds. On my left, the gentlemen Tim Rice and Lance Percival. I read out some pieces written by Ian Messiter. These pieces have mistakes in them, and the first player to spot a mistake presses a button. If it's a member of the ladies' team, it rings a bell. If it's a member of the gentlemen's team, you'll hear a buzzer. It's an electronic marvel. Scoring when we come to it, and the chairman's decision is final, even when he's wrong. First piece. I'll explain to those of you who don't know about Many a Slip what it's all about. Ellen Sumfield.
There's something wrong with that.
I'll explain to those of you who don't know about Many a Slip.
You're going to explain it to everyone, aren't you? I mean, there's no holding you, is there?
No.
You're going to explain it to us all.
Yes.
So, you just need to say, I'm going to explain.
To those of you who don't know what it's all about, I think you're on a loser here, Eleanor.
Oh, do you?
Yes. So that's two to the gentleman. Let me explain the scoring. It's one mark for spotting a mistake and another for correcting it, and the marks are credited to your team. But if you press a button for a mistake when there isn't one, as Eleanor's just found out, then the marks go to the other side. That's two to the gentleman. I'll explain to those of you who don't know what it's all about what it's all about. Otherwise, you'll never know what it's all about. If I make a mistake, as I'm often in the habit of doing. Gillian Reynolds.
Often in the habit, isn't that a sort of tautology? Aren't you repeating yourself unnecessarily?
Yes, I am. Often and in the habit. Yes, yeah. Tautology. Two marks. For example, by saying that the longest word that can be written on the top row of letter keys on a standard English-speaking typewriter is the word Lance Percival.
English-speaking typewriter sounds wrong to me.
Why?
Well, because you type it, you don't speak it.
You mean the typewriter doesn't speak?
No.
No, too much. Is the word typewriter. Yes, Gillian Reynolds.
You can't spell typewriter off the first rank of keys on a typewriter.
Can't we?
You can't, no.
Yes, we can. My technical advisor says we can, so that's two to the
gentleman. Well, it's worth trying.
Tim Rice.
I'm sure it's not the longest word that you can spell.
Well, have you got a longer one?
QWERTYYOP.
Don't accept it.
It's a kind of Peruvian fish.
Thank you, yes. Two to the ladies. So it's up to you to pick me up, metaphysically speaking. I might... Lance Percival.
Well, you wouldn't meet anybody called physically. Metaphorically, maybe.
Metaphorically, too much. I might give you some information known to everyone so well that you feel that I must be mistaken, Gillian Reynolds.
Any piece of information isn't known to everyone.
There aren't degrees of knowing it, are there? I mean, they either know it or they don't.
Yes, all right, don't flog it. You've got your 2 months. For instance, the French call the English Channel Le Manche. Tim Rice.
They do, don't they?
Yes, they do. They definitely do. Just two to the ladies. This whole show is literally awash with tricks which may Lance Percival.
You can't be literally awash, I feel.
Well, you could be literally awash. Happily, we're not at the moment. The ceiling isn't leaking. Yes, too much. With tricks which may well catch both the team and even our listeners if they don't, Tim Rice.
Teams,
too much. And even our listeners if they don't watch out. Those of you who'd answer first.
I don't think listeners would watch out.
What would they do?
Well, they'd probably be driving and listening.
And watching out, I hope.
Yeah, so they'd listen out.
They'd listen out.
Too much. Those of you who won't have any trouble is the one who would... Eleanor, some of you.
You can't say those of you is.
No.
No, it's mixing your numbers, isn't it?
Yes.
It is, yes.
Yes. Those of you who won't have any trouble are those, you mean?
Yes, that's right.
Yes, that's right. Too much. Who have paid attention and had the experience of a rupestral education. Yes, Lance Percival.
Well, I haven't had that experience, and Tim Rice doesn't look as if he's had that experience. Have you?
Never.
No, I don't think he has.
No rupestral education? Neither of you?
No, it doesn't. No. Neither of us have had that.
Sorry. What does rupestral mean?
It means that Ian Messiter is cleverer than me.
Well, I'll give you a mark for that. Yes.
No ideas. No.
Ladies, what does rupestral mean?
Educated in India, I suppose.
It means education growing on rocks, because Rupestral means growing on or inhabiting rocks. You both knew that.
Yes,
of course. Not very likely, no. And the score at the end of the first round, 15 to the gentlemen, 10 to the ladies.
Not bad. You played before.
Now we're going Greek. One of the three men who laid down the philosophical foundations of our culture was Socrates, who is usually associated with Salonika, and was born Lance Percival.
No, he wasn't associated with Salonika. She'd been gone years. But I do realise there is a place, so I may be wrong. I just have to say that I think it's wrong, Salonika.
One mark. Associated with where? Anybody?
Delphi?
Athens.
Crete.
Athens, yes. But, yes, one to the ladies. Athens. And he was born somewhere about 1000 BC. He was unknown, Tim Rice.
I don't think it was as long ago as that.
How long ago? Give me an estimate.
250 BC.
Any advance on 250? Ladies.
500?
I'll accept that. 470. Two marks for the ladies. Yes, Mr. Percival.
You said somewhere about. He was actually born on a particular date. Because you or Mr. Messiter don't know the actual date, it's not our fault. He was actually born on a certain date.
Do you know?
No, but he wouldn't
then have
been
born... Then don't push your luck. He was unknown until he was, in the modern vernacular, discovered by... Who was that? Yes, Mr. Wright.
Well, that's a tautology, because obviously he was unknown until he was discovered.
No.
Not necessarily. Known to his family and friends, as Miss Reynolds says. Yes. No, Mark. Discovered by Plato. It was...
No, he wasn't discovered by Plato. Nor Salonika, for that matter.
Who was it, then? Why wasn't it Plato?
Because of age difference.
Ah, now go pursue that train of thought.
Somebody's much older than somebody else.
Yes,
and therefore couldn't have been, yes.
Socrates was 45 years older than Plato.
Right. Yeah.
Two marks. It was Socrates' custom to debate in the marketplace, and especially in the gymnasia of the city. Only three, Eleanor Summerfield.
You said in the gymnasia?
Yes.
No, that's wrong.
That's quite right.
Is it?
Yes.
It's schools, isn't it?
Right. Yes, exactly.
Well, really, we want
to. Talk to Miss Educated
yes.
Reynolds next door.
Shut.
Two to the gentleman.
Yes.
It was Socrates... and especially the gymnasia of the city. Only three remain of the 25 books he wrote. Lance Percival.
I don't think he wrote 25 books. How Tablets, many... maybe.
How many did he write, then?
I'm not absolutely sure without consulting with Tim Rice.
Rice, how would anybody know he wrote 25 if only three remain? I mean, he could have written 250 if only three are left.
Yes. Well, I'm going to give two to the ladies, because he didn't write any books at all.
Oh. I knew it was Tablets.
It's all that speaking in the marketplace.
Yeah.
Previous to his oratorio appearances, he had made Gillian Reynolds.
His oratorio appearances. Don't you mean it's oratorical?
Oratorical, yes. Oratorical or oratoric or oratorium. Yes, indeed. Too much. He had made a reputation for himself for bravery as a soldier in the public wars. He's often Tim Rice.
That's not public. I've got to be careful here.
Yes.
Punic.
The Punic Wars did not break out until 264 BC, two to the ladies.
Oh, well.
But he did fight bravely in another war. Has anybody got it for two marks?
Trying to get his books published.
Peloponnesian. He's often been thought to be a self-tormenting acetate, but he was Lance Percival.
Could you say it again, please?
He's often been thought to be a self-tormenting acetate.
To have been, yes, self to have been a self-taught...
Aesthete? Is that right? An acetate's a thing that you cut records.
Yes,
on.
Yes.
I mean, he cut records instead of writing books.
Exactly.
Ascetic.
Ascetic, two to the ladies. But he was the soul of merriment at a party and never went around with a forbidding face, as did his contemporary, St. Francis Xavier, because... Lance Percival.
St. Francis wasn't a contemporary.
No, he wasn't. Before or after?
Well, I hope after.
After, too much. Because he knew that men could only be won by good company. His discourse was frequently on defining right from wrong. And he was a cheery exponent of brocaded women. He was Eleanor Summerfield.
He was an exponent of brocaded women?
Yes.
No, he wasn't.
Why not?
Well, I don't know how you can be an exponent of any kind of women, especially brocaded ones.
What does brocaded mean?
Something that women aren't.
Quite right. Would you like it to go on from there?
Not much, no.
Gentlemen, what does the brocaded mean?
Is it embroidered?
No, it's having feather-covered legs.
Now, that brings me back to a few women I know.
Yes. No marks to anybody. And somebody missed a mark for, I said, defining right from wrong. It should be defining right and wrong. Mm. He was a most moral man, and it was this insistence on morality, Tim Rice.
Can you have, in fact, a degree of morality, either you're moral or not?
Mm. I think so. Yes, you can. I'm sure you can. A most moral man.
You think you can say that?
Yes. Mm. Yes. Right. Two to the lady. And it was this insistence on morality in each and every argument that led him, Eleanor Summerfield.
Each and every is tautological.
So it is, two marks. That led him to die from too much wedlock. Eleanor Summerfield. Eleanor Summerfield.
No, I think it was actually hemlock. What,
yes.
Drunk?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Somebody slipped it to him. And at the end of that second round, the score is 26 to the ladies, 16 to the gentlemen. And now I'm handing over to our musical mistakes man at the piano, Steve Race.
A touch of calypso music, a breath of the East Indies, to celebrate Tim.
West Indies.
West Indies, yes. But to celebrate the return to our programme of Lars Percival over there. In the very first series, and in one or two of the subsequent later ones too, Tim, you've just made it again.
Tautology,
subsequent later. Or later, yes, that's right. I played you the Westminster chimes and invited you to ring, or buzz, as the case may be, when I made a deliberate mistake. Here are the hour chimes, or are they?
Doesn't it stop? Bom, 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 bom.
No, it doesn't.
But that's what we did in the Brownies.
So you get... Ben knows better. You've given two to the blokes. I'll start again. This is the hour chimes again. Lance, hello. It's
down,
right.
Down, down, down. Yes, I was just saying it's right.
And for the pleasure of saying that, you've given two back to the ladies again, haven't you? All right, da 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 dum, ba 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 bum, and then going on from there. Eleanor, it's right. You've given two to the best. And then the last quarter. Lance.
There's not that pause.
No, no. I was waiting for somebody to buzz, and nobody did. Mm. All right, not that pause. You get two marks for your side. A minute or so ago, I mentioned the West Indies. Gillian.
Have you been really talking for a minute?
Well, a minute or so.
30 seconds.
Minutes or so.
It seemed much shorter than a minute.
Oh, how lovely of you. I won't charge you anything for that. Nobody noticed that... Tim.
Well, I mentioned the West Indies. You mentioned the East Indies.
That's right. I didn't mention the West Indies. You did. So you get two marks. Good for you. I played a few bars of Harry Belladonna's Island and the Sun. Tim, you're very quick today.
I must be drunk. Harry Belafonte.
I would be nicer, yes. Island in the Sun. Another good tune of a similar kind is Yellow Bird. Eleanor?
Ba, 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 ba,
yes,
ba.
I play. And it, yes. You're quite right.
Thank you.
Yes, two marks to you. Talking of the Caribbean, Leonard Bernstein put Lance.
Oh, yes, he might have talked about the Caribbean, I'm sorry.
Well, he did. Well, you've given two to the ladies.
Yes.
Because he did more than that. He put Puerto Rico on the Broadway map with the song from West Side Story that went... Now, Eleanor, start again.
Mary Poppins.
Yes, you got it.
Oh.
Very, very tricky to sing, as anyone in the cast of West Side Story can tell you. Yeah. You got it right, yes, 2 marks. Let me take you back, musically speaking, to the West Indies, where there are steel drums in every oil band, and where... dance...
Where oil drums in every steel band?
Yeah, much more like it, that's right. 2 marks to you, and where the tropical sun beats down 24 hours a day.
Not all of the 24 hours, no.
Try 12, shall we?
Yes.
Yes, right, 2 marks to you.
You went off in the middle there somewhere.
Off from what into what? Yeah, you've got the mark, really. I drifted off into Ireland in the sun again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me play you a once popular samba, Chico Chico.
That's not Chico Chico, is it?
Tico Tico, it is indeed.
Tico Tico?
Yes, Tico Tico it is. You've given two to men.
Yes, I stopped.
Tico Tico it is, played in a film on the Hammond organ, remember, by Dame Ethel Smythe. But, Eleanor.
It's a great thought, but it never happened.
No. Can you remember who it was who played it?
Ethel Smart, was it?
No. You've got the mark. It was Ethel Smith.
Smith, yes.
Not Smythe. But I'm ending my music spot this week with a more romantic tune, You Belong to My Heart.
Just went wrong there on one note at the top.
Yeah.
One dump, dump.
2 marks, yes. Here are the very last 8 bars of that tune. Julian.
Shouldn't you have started to go up a bit?
Let's all sing it together, shall we? Can we? Thank you.
Thank you, Steve Raisin. At the end of his musical mistake spot, the score is 46 to the gentlemen, 45 to the ladies. If your memory goes back as far as 1933, before I was born, you may like... Eleanor Summerfield?
I'm sure you were born in 1932, weren't you, Roy, darling?
11:59 on the evening of December the 31st. Yes, 32. Right. 2 marks. You may like to be reminded that it was the year in which the global airman, Wiley Mayle, flew round the world in 2 days, Eleanor Summerfield.
I'm sure he wasn't called Wiley Mayle.
What was he called?
I don't know.
Wiley Post. No.
Oh.
Yes, Lance Percival.
Well, the next bit you're getting to is 2 days. You couldn't have got round the world in 2 days.
How many, then?
Well, took David Niven 80. I don't know. Would you say 26?
I'd say 2 weeks.
Ladies, what do you think?
8 days.
2 to the ladies. Or 7 days. 7 days, 18 hours and 49 minutes.
Marvellous.
A book called Marlborough, His Life and Times, was written by Ernest Hemingway. It was the year of the Gillian Reynolds.
Oh, no, he didn't. He didn't write Marlborough, His Life and Times.
Who did then?
Somebody else.
Who?
Not Wiley Post, either.
No, you've got your one mark. Who else? Anybody?
Was it Churchill?
Yes, it was. The other mark. Mm. It was the year of the first commercially produced deterrent. People had the opportunity, Lance Percival.
No, in 1933 I was born, and I was not a deterrent. Might have been detergent.
It might indeed, 2 marks. People had the opportunity to see Arabella, a cowboy film by that redoubtable Lance Percival.
Arabella was not a cowboy film.
What was it, then?
It's an opera or something.
Yes, it is. Yes. By that redoubtable composter, that Eleanor Summerfield.
It sounded as a gardener. No, I think we're being composed.
Yes, I do. Yes, that 2 marks. That musical genius, Johann Strauss. It showed, among other things, Lance Percival.
No, it's the wrong Strauss.
Which one?
Richard.
Richard, yes, 2 marks. It showed, among other things, how the talent had rubbed off on him from his brother Oscar. Gillian Reynolds.
Oh, you just said from his brother Otto. Now
I said Oscar.
Oscar?
That's yes. Wrong.
I think that's wrong, yes.
Yes, what's wrong about it?
Well, he and Oscar weren't brothers.
Yes. And how can we tell that?
Because one was
Tim Rice, pick up the other mark.
Didn't they win an Oscar for the music, anyway?
They just spelt their name differently.
Well done. That took some time, didn't it? Two marks. There were some great films that year, including King Kong, played by Fay Wray. Tim Rice.
Fay Wray did not play King Kong.
What did she do then? She played with King Kong.
She was the lady that King Kong fell in love with.
She did the screaming.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Two marks. The Private Life of Henry VIII was produced... Lance Burton.
I think it was Private Lives of Henry VIII.
Just the Private Life, sorry, George related, was produced by Alexander Stringer with the... Gillian Rennie.
Alexander Corder.
Two marks. With the name part going to Frank Lawton. Gillian Rennie.
Charles Lawton.
Charles Lawton. Two marks. There was also the first pubic film showing Lance Percival.
Well, I didn't see it. I hope it's back to punic or public.
Public it should be for two marks. Public film showing of Noah Card's Lemonade. Lance Percival.
No, Noah Card never wrote a film about lemonade. Several Shandes, but not lemonade.
What was his film?
Right, it's in the public domain. Eleanor Summerfield.
Cavalcade.
One to each side, and at the end of that piece, the score is 74 to the gentleman, 68 to the lady. Now, in this next piece, every time I use an adjective, you must stop me and give me the antonym. Mm-hmm. All right? Horseshoe nails are a good example... Tim Rice.
Good is an adjective, and the antonym is bad.
Two marks. Bad example of Gillian Reynolds.
A horseshoe in that context could be described as an adjective. So don't you mean straight? It is a word describing nails.
All right, yes, I'll give you that. I'll give you three marks. It's one that Messiter didn't get, but you've got to give me the antonym of horseshoe.
Well, I would say straight.
Yes. As per
cow's head.
Seeing horseshoes like a U shape, wouldn't you say straight was the opposite of that?
If I give you two marks instead of three, will you accept that?
Yes.
Bad example of splendid work done in the country, Gillian Reynolds.
Splendid, appalling, dreadful.
Or wretched, or whatever, two marks. They were the last nails to be made by Gillian Reynolds.
First nails.
First, two marks. To be made by simple machinery. Lance Percival.
Difficult machinery.
Or complicated machinery. Two marks. They must be made from hard metal. That is, Tim Rice.
Soft metal.
Two marks. It is at the same time, not Lance Percival.
At the dissimilar time.
Time, two marks. Not brittle. Gillian Reynolds.
Strong.
Come on, I want a better antonym than that.
Well, brittle breaks easily. Strong, durable.
Right.
Solid.
One mark. Gentlemen.
Solid.
No, I don't like that either.
Tough?
Supple is the one I was looking for. Until recent years, they were all carefully Eleanor Summerfield.
Not recent, but...
Distant.
Two marks. They were all carefully forged by Lance Percival.
Carefully.
Carefully is an adverb.
Haphazardly.
Carefully is an adverb, lad, too, to the lady.
Yeah, I just wanted to check if I could do an adverb.
Thank you. Forged by a small section of... Gillian Reynolds.
A large section.
Of Gillian Reynolds. Two marks. Of skilled nail makers. Tim Rice.
Unskilled.
Two marks. These people were such clever chaps that... Tim Rice.
Thick.
Two marks. That they would sit at a separate table at the Gillian Reynolds.
They would sit at the same table.
Adjoining.
Right,
table.
Joint table. Two marks. At the nail makers' generous... Tim Rice.
Generous.
Yes.
Mean.
Two marks. Dinner, which was an annual one. Eleanor Summerfield.
Daily or biennial.
There is, in fact, no single antonym for annual, but you tried awfully hard, so you have your two marks. The common nail with Tim Rice.
The rare or uncommon.
Two marks. With a large head, Tim Rice.
Small.
Two marks. Will not do for a proper horseman, Tim Rice.
Improper, I guess.
Improper horseman, two marks. And at the end of that piece, the score is 94 to the gentlemen, 85 to the ladies. And that's as far as we can go. So on behalf of our two teams, Eleanor Summerfield and Gillian Reynolds and Tim Rice and Lance Percival and Steve Race, our musical mistakes man, I'll say goodbye.
Many a Slip was devised and written by Ian Messiter. The chairman was Roy Plumley, and the producer, Paul Mayhew Archer.